Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmental responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Momento's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location, 879-1000. This is Sports Saturday, living the dream and taking you with us on 101.3 The Game.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com if you're going to stream us online. I got to get that straight because I've been messing that up. There's a 101.3 The Game if you're just listening to the station. But if you want to listen to us online, it's 101.3thegame.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. The big fella, Bernie Siplicki, is out today, but filling the big seat is our good buddy from WPTZ Sports anchor, Jack Cordy. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Jeff.
How it's tough to get you out of bed to do this. We've got a guy that works all night. I mean, you get in and do the show with us this morning. This is exciting.
Down in Fairhaven last night for a high school football game. Got back around midnight or so. So I got a couple hours of sleep in me.
And a game that was supposed to, that was touted as one of the big games of the year in Division II. We're talking Burn, Burton, Fairhaven, two teams that are powerhouses in the state. Turned out to be a blowout for the Bulldogs.
Two 3-0 teams going in. I had it pegged as the game of the week. We had it pegged as our game of the week.
Right.
And Fairhaven goes, or Burn Burton goes into Fairhaven, beats them by 34, and takes the driver's seat in Division II. That was stunning. I didn't expect it at all.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Aaron Wells on the board. I have to say this, Aaron Wells, if I ever get a chance to fly in the Enterprise and we have a problem, I'm glad that you're running this ship because we had a little technical issue. You stayed very calm. You got everything under control. We didn't get the sports update, but you got us on the air, which is most important.
Actually, I wouldn't be quite so confident because that mistake was entirely my fault. I did the high school football game of the week yesterday. Yeah. And this board is multi-purpose. It can do 960 the zone and it can do 101.3 the game.
Yep.
All of my buttons were still in 960 the zone mode. That's why everything was not playing.
But again, my point being is about how you stayed calm. Now I was getting nervous. I was, sweating. I would have been in, it would have been over for me, but you stayed very calm. Raided the ship, got us on the air, so well done. We'll do the sports update at the top of the hour. How's that?
Yes, we will.
Okay, that's good, because I know you got a really good sports update. You're working hard on that this morning.
I know, yeah.
Hey, so listen, we're glad to have you here. We are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. We have some show coming up there. We're going to talk some baseball. Baseball playoffs, Jack, are right around the corner. The Yankees and the Red Sox, two local teams here. The Red Sox, we all know, have won over 100 games. They have rolled throughout the season. They are definitely the favorite in the American League. The Yankees are an interesting team. I have definitely plenty of takes on them, a baseball team that in the beginning of the season looked like a team that could compete with the power of the Red Sox. But for the second half of the year, they have not been that team. But they are definitely in the driver's seat to make the playoffs. When you look at the AL, the American League playoff situation, you get teams like Cleveland and Houston and a team that everyone's watching now, the Oakland Athletics. But I think the team to talk about, no one talks about, is Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. What Tampa Bay has done this season is insane. They're not going to make the playoffs, okay, but what they have done and what Kevin Cash has done in Tampa with all the guys they got rid of and all those kids they have, he should be the manager of the year in the American League.
And there should be a Cy Young winner coming off Tampa Bay's pitching staff as well. Blake Snell has been a revelation. I remember I owned him in fantasy baseball like 2 years ago, and he kind of stunk up the joint. And now I'm no longer playing fantasy baseball. I'm looking at him like, I wish I owned him this year.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
20-game winner, and I think under a 2 ERA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shoo-in, right? But then there's Chris Sale, but he misses a month.
Yeah, you can't. You got to give it to Snell. I mean, he what he's done, what they have done down there, seriously, he should win the Cy Young, and Kevin Cash should win the manager of the year. There is no one's going to talk about them because it's Tampa Bay. They play in St. Petersburg, Florida. Nobody goes to watch them. They basically have been they've had a couple years where they were very successful. What's happening down there now? They're supposed to be like the Baltimore Orioles of this year. And now they're almost 30 games over 500. They literally are they're 5.5 games behind Oakland right now for the second wild card spot. They probably deserve that wild card spot over the Yankees, if you ask me. It's actually been awesome to see what they've been able to do and what Kevin Cash has done with kids and basically guys that are on the scrap heap is spectacular, and they keep winning. And they're gonna have their say in this, because the Yankees, after this weekend with Baltimore, head down to Tampa Bay, and those are some big games for the Yankees.
And the funny thing is, how many Tampa Bay Rays can you name? Blake Snell,
G-Man Choi. I know that. I can name G-Man. That's what I mean. They're just young kids,
exactly.
Or they're scrap heap guys.
I don't think I can name one besides Blake Snell. I mean, if I thought about it, I'm sure I could.
Yeah,
but the fact that they're doing that, and you know, 86-67, only 8.5 back of the Yanks.
And luckily there's only 9 games left, so the Yankees are in decent shape there.
Yeah,
but the reality here for them is that it's been an unbelievable year for them, and we're going to talk baseball coming up. We're going to talk to Tom Noy from the South Bend Tribune. He's a Notre Dame football insider. Whether you like Notre Dame or dislike Notre Dame really does control its own destiny in terms of getting to this college football playoff. You look at what they have on their schedule. They have enough teams on there, enough big games to get themselves there. They open up their season against Michigan and look like world beaters, but they have looked very bad the last 2 weeks in winning. They're on the road today against Wake Forest. We're going to talk to Tom Noy from Wake Forest in Winston-Salem today at 10:40. Get your fantasy football questions ready at 11:20 with Jake Kent. And right now I am really struggling in my fantasy football league. I'm looking 0-2. I'm looking 0-3 in the face. And the problem, Jack, with that is if I finish in last place in this, I have to get my ear pierced and I have to wear this feather earring. During every event for a year. So Christmases, events, you know, if I go to weddings, if I go something good, like for example, if something great happens in your life and you win something, I have to wear a feathered earring. I'm anxious about this, so I need some help.
You're in a punishment league, huh?
I'm in a punishment league, and I think it's a pretty good one. There are some other ones, and we've talked about this on the show a few times.
Okay.
Some of the other things that people have to do, like I've heard ones where people have to take the SAT, mm-hmm. or they have to get tattooed. But me having to get my ear pierced is nerve-wracking enough. So Jake Kent's going to join us at 11:20 to get your fantasy football questions ready. I also want to talk some NFL, the Giants, the Patriots, the Jets. There's so many things happening in the NFL. It's been an interesting first couple weeks of the season here. There's some big games for some local teams coming up this weekend. The Detroit Lions with Matt Patricia, your favorite team, the Lions, play the Pats. Interesting game there. The Patriots are a reeling football team as well right now. They don't look like the normal Patriot football team we're used to. And obviously they get to go against their old coach.
And they go out and sign Josh. You see, this is the funny thing about Bill Belichick is the second he sees the competition getting up to their level, they go out and sign a Josh Gordon, or they go out and trade for a Josh Gordon. So, yeah, we'll talk about that more.
Were you stunned that they signed Josh? I was actually shocked that Belichick would roll the dice on a guy like Gordon. Just with everything, he walks in, and I'm guessing that the reason that Cleveland released him, a Cleveland football team that, in my opinion, still has a really good shot to make the playoffs. I predicted it going into the season that Cleveland's going to make the playoffs. But a Cleveland Brown team that's got a lot happening for them, and Josh Gordon is that home run hitting talent. They just gave up on him when he showed up. It looked like he was late for a meeting, or he came and looked like he was under the influence. They just said enough is enough. I was shocked that the Patriots rolled the dice on that.
I heard that the issue was that he hurt his hamstring at a promotional event, and Cleveland was upset because he did not inform management he was going to said promotional event. So he just came in with a injured hamstring, and they had no idea what he was doing the night before.
Well, regardless of what the story is, the fact that Cleveland would give up on a guy like that, and I know that there's been a history there, is shocking. And the fact with Bill Belichick's background, and maybe, Jack, your point is valid, that he knows that right now, talent-wise on the field, the Patriots need something, and they're going to roll the dice on a talent like Josh Gordon.
Belichick always tries to keep Tom Brady young. He'll always get someone new for him to play with. And, you know, this just reminds me of the Randy Moss second chance. Moss was nothing in Oakland. He comes in 2007, and they basically go undefeated.
It's true.
He owns the Browns. He goes into the discount bin, and he picks out whatever he can from the city that is Cleveland. And we've seen this time and time again. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if Gordon can just keep his head on straight. The Browns had just given him too many chances.
Yep.
It had been, they had reached the end of the line. They couldn't, you need trust. You need trust, and they had given him way too many chances. Did you watch Hard Knocks?
Some of them. I didn't see all of them.
Okay.
Some of them.
Well, I tried to watch Hard Knocks, and it's just, you know, it's interesting to go behind the scenes and see Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey, the GM of the Browns, you know, talk about this and try to go through the motions and, you know, talk about Josh Gordon. And when you lose that trust, it's just hard. So
yeah. There's no question, but I guess my point being is I was just shocked with everything that, to me, with Cleveland letting him go and Cleveland making the decision to let him go, the fact that the Belichick was so quick to jump on him. Now, maybe some of that may have to do with the fact that they knew he was going to go somewhere, but it's going to be interesting to see how he fits into the Pats' role, and my guess is that he's going to thrive. He'll probably be an all-pro by the end of the season. That's how it works for the Patriots. Go ahead, Aaron. I know you got to get your Patriot talk in here.
Well, see,
we got to justify everything to the Patriots. Aaron is like the he's the Eli Manning apologist, like Bernie Siblicki is to the Patriots for my boy Aaron Wells over here.
No, this is pretty simple in terms of business. They paid a fifth round pick for him, and if he doesn't start 10 games, they get a seventh back. So they're paying very little for a guy with a lot of upside if he does decide to straighten out.
And again, I think if there's a guy that can straighten him out, it's Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick just won't deal with it. I mean, there's no question that he's got the guy. So anyway, go ahead.
I think Bill thinks he could straighten anybody out.
Oh, and he's proven that he can. I mean, truth be told, Bill Belichick has proven if he can, he just gets rid of you. So, I mean, that's kind of the way it is. We also have our Hot or Not segments and our Out in Left Field segment. Today, our Out in Left Field segment's amazing. Jack, remember how we met, you and me, buddy?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing story. Here I am at Yankee Stadium 2 years, a year and a half ago.
Last summer.
You were there 60 last summer. They're like, well, not this summer, we're in last summer. Like 55,000 people at Yankee Stadium.
Wait, we actually have to say last summer now because it's fall.
I know. Is it fall yet?
It is.
It's officially fall. This is depressing.
I know.
It's so terrible. But anyway, Yankee Stadium, rain delay, Yanks and Tigers, and here we are hanging at this refreshment stand, getting ready to get a refreshment.
Watering hole.
And I look over to my left, and there's some kid, you know, hitting on my wife. And I think to myself, oh, here we go again. You know, I look over, and there he is. Hey, how you doing? You know, and next thing I know, it's Jack Cordy. I'm like, Jack Cordy? Oh, my God. Monica, that's Jack Cordy. I can't get over this. So basically what happens is Jack Cordy, you're sitting there at this game with your dad, and Monica and I happen to be standing right next to each other, right next to you, and that's how we meet. That's an amazing story.
Well, you snuffed out my plan because when I'm with my dad at a baseball game, I'm always just trying to go hit on other people's wives.
Of course.
So I'm sad that you just made that public for everyone to know that. So
I'm just kidding. You definitely weren't doing that. I'm just playing.
No, it was. I mean, that is a crazy story. We ended up chatting for however long that rain delay was. Next thing you knew, I was with you here in February, and now we're back again.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. It's amazing how things work, right? I mean, you know, you work here, you know, and we're doing this thing, and I'm not kidding. There must have been 55,000 people in Yankee Stadium that day. It was packed, pouring rain. There was people everywhere at this concession stand, and there you are saying it's a pretty interesting story. I have to say this. So this week, it's been a crazy week, very busy week, obviously, but I'm sitting at this restaurant. Yeah, I have to get your take on this. I'm sitting at this restaurant. Tell me what you think about this. Next to three guys, just myself having a seltzer water, watching a basketball game. To my right, sitting there, are the three guys, and somebody says, and there's sports on. The guy goes, are you guys into sports at all? To the three buddies just sitting there. And the guy's like, nah. I don't know why people get so fired up about it. I don't know why people get so excited about sports. Like, you know, I mean, my brother and my sister and my buddy over here, like, they're in fantasy sports, and they're stressing out about it, and they're worried about this team and that team. And I thought to myself, wow, I can't imagine not being passionate about my teams. Like, I am so wrapped up in my Yankees and my Giants, my Virginia Cavalier basketball team, and all my favorite teams that I'm rooting for. I mean, you just get so wrapped up in it. And then as somebody that does this on weekends and talks sports, like, you're wrapped up in everything. What's happening in the NFL? What's happening in the NBA? What's happening in every aspect of sports? Yeah, this is my life. I love this stuff. It gets me fired up. And I'm thinking to myself, these guys, just they don't get to enjoy it. Then I thought to myself, whew, I'd have a lot less stress in my life if I did have that mentality. A
lot less stress, lot less excitement, though, too.
I agree.
What, but maybe, how old were these guys?
Shocking. They're probably, like, in their mid-20s to early 30s, and none of them were into it. They were all like, nah, you know. I mean, they looked like they played. They were very athletic. They looked like they played sports. Not that it's a bad thing, but I thought, it's unbelievable that they're, I mean, for me, it's like, that's my release, is watching my teams play or getting excited about those things. That's the release I have. These guys had this interesting mentality. It was like, nah, forget about it. I could care less.
It's my release and my bane.
Yeah,
of existence
exactly.
At the same time. A fan of Detroit sports.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot more of that.
That's got to be rugged. That's got to be so rugged.
I can't imagine that, though, if you're being real. Like, if sports just didn't exist.
Or if you just didn't care enough about it. Like, it's interesting to me. Like, I go through, like, somebody will say, we talk baseball on the show all the time, and someone will say, oh, my God, baseball, the season's too long. I'm thinking to myself, I watch every game. Like, I don't want to say I watch every inning, because that's almost impossible with what you're, you know, especially if you have a life that you're working and stuff, but I'm into every single game. If I'm not watching it, I've got it, like, on my phone so I can see what's happening. I want to know who's pitching. I want to know what, and if they lose, a heartbreaker, like, I can't sleep until 2 or 3 in the morning. You know, I don't want to read the paper the next day. I mean, it's crazy, you know? I mean, it's insane, but I'm thinking, boy, maybe it'd be cool if I could just get into, like, watching, you know, The Bachelor and stuff and just be worried about that instead of worrying about, you know, whether the Yankees are falling apart right in front of me or something, or if the Giants can figure out what's going on the offensive line. You know what I mean?
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
I stayed in late last week to watch the Pats-Jags game, and I straight up threw a shoe.
But for you, the thing for you, though, is you're so young that you don't get what it was like to be a Patriot fan that's grown up with the Patriots. So if you're my age and you're in your early 40s and you've been a Pats fan your whole life, between, like, I mean, I guess in 85, they went to the Super Bowl against the Bears and got demolished because the Bears were unbelievable. But the Patriots have been were the laughingstock of the NFL forever. I mean, forever. They were the joke of the NFL. Now the Patriots are they're it. So you can't even appreciate. See, to me, I look at you, I'm thinking, well, you're so lucky. But the Patriot fans that have been around for, they say, maybe 20 years longer than you understand. Like, that's why if you're a Patriot fan, you have to appreciate what they're doing. And I have a lot of Patriot friend fans out there that are really aggressive on, you know, oh my God, Brady stinks and this team's terrible. I'm like, guy, just remember where you guys came from. Remember the Grogan days and the Esiason days and the Andre Tippett days. You know, those, the Tatupu days. Those were some tough days in New England.
I'm actually not going to lie. It felt good to care as much as I did in the fourth quarter of that game. It was like, oh, man, this is close, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the first 8-8 season we have, I'm not going to be too upset about it because every game I'm going to be, like, that much more invested.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, boy. Isn't that funny, the first 8-8? If as a Giants fan or you as a Detroit fan, wouldn't you take 8-8 this year? I would take 8-8.
Patriots fans do not understand what they have.
They don't appreciate it.
You really don't understand. The fact that you actually go into every game winning, I can't imagine what that's like as a Detroit Lions fan, yeah. As a New York Giants, as a fan of any other team
even the Giants, we've had a lot of successful years. But the thing about the Giants is the Giants are like, it's like they win, and then they're really bad, and then they win. So it's like they're tugging at your heartstrings. For you as a Detroit fan, I'm sorry for you.
Yeah, I lived through 0-16.
Yeah, it's rough.
The same year that the Patriots, that was 08. So maybe it was the year after the Patriots.
Well, the Patriots are probably 14-2 or something. So what's the difference?
They're always 14-2.
Yeah, they're always.
They're always 14-2 and about to win the Super Bowl
every year. Every year, it's funny. Like I mean, they just. What gets me about the Patriots, every year the AFC Championship is up. The Patriots are in the AFC Championship every year. I just feel like it's just carte blanche. It's who are they going to play? We just figure out who they're going to play.
Isn't your 60-year curse almost over, though? Wasn't there a quarterback you guys traded and he, like, put a curse on you guys? And
Bobby Lane,
yeah.
The curse of Bobby Lane.
It's almost over, isn't it? Was it a 60-year or 100-year?
But then it was reincarnated when Matthew Stafford threw 5 interceptions at this game of the season.
Yeah. To the Jets.
That's what happened.
To the Jets. Who, by the way, have the worst white uniforms in the league.
You don't like them?
I don't like them at all. And I don't like Cleveland's uniforms either.
The Thursday night ones for Cleveland were great, though.
No, they're terrible. They need to go back to, like, the 86 or 87, like, Ernest Biner days. Those are some good Cleveland Brown uniforms. You got to go back to that. The Cleveland Brown uniforms right now and the Jets uniforms are just... The Jets' white uniforms, horrible.
Well, the Jets refer to themselves as the gangrene, so, I mean, that's already gross.
Yeah. This is how bad I am. Like, I was a young kid in the mid-80s. I was like 12, 13 years old, like 10 years old, whatever, in the mid-80s. But I love the Jets uniforms from back then. I love the Browns uniforms from back then. Those were some good-looking uniforms back then. But now where they're at, not good. You got to change that. All right, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down some baseball. The Yankees are driving me crazy, and Red Sox fans, just relax. You're fine. We'll explain. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. 1013thegame.com. Not 101.3thegame.com.
Yeah, you don't want another point in there.
No, just the point in the name. 101.3 The Game. 1013thegame.com. Joining me from NBC5 sports anchor Jack Cordy. When I was growing up, it was WPTZ. It's not WPTZ anymore. It's NBC5. I keep messing these stuff up.
Life changes.
Life just keeps moving. You know what I mean? It just keeps on moving.
Media and communications names are hard.
Evidently. For a guy like me, everything's hard, so you know what I mean.
Everything, ever changing.
Yeah, everything keeps moving. Everything keeps moving. It's amazing how everything now branding-wise is wording. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, you got to make, you know, it's not this, it's that. You got to make sure you add this to it. But anyway, we are 101.3 The Game, and you are NBC5.
That's how it works.
Here, that's how it works. Hey, baseball playoffs are on their way. 655-6672 is the number of the call if you want to join our conversation. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. Let's listen. On Facebook right now, I've got some very close friends. Most of my buddies on Facebook. And I don't spend a whole lot of time on Facebook, but I find that when I get up in the morning and I'm reading the paper, I'll just read some of the things. And Red Sox fans are so upset about this middle relief that they have. And they, you know, they can't win. They can't win this middle relief. They're not going to win a championship with this middle relief. Blah, 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 blah. And let me just make a point about baseball. It doesn't matter who is the best offense if you get in the playoffs, who plays the best defense, who has the best starting pitching, who has the best bullpen. It's moments in the playoffs. And going into last year, it's a great example. The Cleveland Indians going into last season were the team to beat going into the playoffs. They were a team that was just running roughshod over everybody. They made some huge trades. I remember they brought in Jay Bruce. They had Andrew. Andrew Miller was in. I mean, their rotation was unbelievable. Their bullpen was unbelievable. Lindor was the best shortstop in baseball. Their lineup was insane. They were the team that was destined to win. And what happened? You know, a young Yankee team that got hot at the right time, that had a couple huge moments throughout a 7-game series and a short series, found a way to win the series. And that's what's going to happen again this year. And it could be the Red Sox. It could be Oakland. It could be the Yankees. It could be the Indians. It could be the Astros. The Astros won the World Series last year with the worst bullpen in baseball. Mm. And they won the World Series. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole point here is the Red Sox are in a really good position. They have the best player in baseball in Mookie Betts. The best overall player. They have the best hitter in baseball in J.D. Martinez. They have a very deep bench. They have a very incredibly deep bench. They have arguably the best starter. I mean, I think if you put pound for pound, Chris Sale is the guy you want in the mound. I mean, I love what Snell's doing in Tampa Bay. Don't get me wrong. But I think if you're looking for a guy that's going to get on the mound and win a game for you, it's Chris Sale. David Price is a gamer. I mean, he can't beat the Yankees, which I love. But the fact is he's a gamer. You can trust to give him the ball, even though his playoff performances haven't been great. There's something about David Price that I think you trust. He's not afraid of the moment, I don't think. And you look at this team, and you got to like what you see.
I think it's tough because in the postseason, the spotlight shines ever so brightly on every pitch.
Right.
And there's a tension in baseball that is non-existent in football and hockey and basketball that's fluid, that continues.
Right.
And your breath hangs on every pitch in baseball. And I feel like that's why there's such an emphasis on having a good bullpen in the postseason. And I understand what you're saying here, that I think the Red Sox kind of can transcend that in terms of their offense is one of a kind. It's something that we haven't seen in a long time. It truly is top to bottom incredible.
It is.
Who they're bringing up, person after person, hitter after hitter. But, you know, there's going to be a time where they need to make a pitch. They need to get out.
And there's no question about that. But here's my point. It's about moments. It's not about, you don't look at the collective throughout a season when you go to the playoffs. Nothing matters anymore. And you can say that for any sport. But you're absolutely right. It's moment to moment in baseball. It's not necessarily like football where you have a team like, say, the Patriots, historically the Patriots that get on the field, and just because their offensive line and their quarterback and their wide receivers are elite, so they're able to mow you down and just pick you apart because talent levels are better. When it comes to baseball, it's momentary. It's pitch to pitch. And the Red Sox might lose because of it. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You know, Hembry may have to come in the seventh inning against the Yankees in the second game of the series after the Yankees found a way to beat Chris Sale 2-1 and gives up a bloop hit to Miguel Andujar, which scores right now the Red Sox. That stuff can happen. But my point is that you've got a team right now that you should really be enjoying and understand that when the playoff starts, but who's hot? I like what the Red Sox are doing. I really do. I like the way they're playing their games. I love their fight. They have such fight. That's what the Yankees don't have. The Yankees for the second half of the season have been so boring, and they've been so they have no fight. They have no gut. You know, I can't get over what the Yankees have done the second half of the season. And they've been a lot of injuries, and I get it. But to me, I have this philosophy. I truly have this philosophy with the Yankees that Brian Cashman and the behind-the-scenes leaders of the Yankees could care less about the season. They basically decided, give these kids a chance. We're going to let everybody just go out and play. Don't worry about anything. Just play your game, and whatever happens, happens. They don't move people over. What happened? Let me give a good example. A perfect microcosm of the Yankee season, the Red Sox season, was the third game of the series with the Red Sox this week. Mm-hmm. As a Yankee fan, you don't want to see the Red Sox, you know, jumping up and down on your stadium to win them in the American League East. And the Yankees did a really good job the first two games of finding a way to win game one and blowing the Red Sox out in game two. So you go in game three again with Tanaka, and Tanaka is a crapshoot. If he's not locating, he's very hittable. And the Red Sox come out and pound him early, build the lead. The Yankees find a way to get this huge grand slam. I think it was in the fifth inning by Giancarlo Stanton to go up 6-4 at a raucous Yankee stadium. Now, Yankees are looking at that point 2.5 games up on the number one wild card pick. So you're going to be the number one wild card. You're going to have that game at home, so you don't have to go across the country to play in Oakland, which you definitely don't want to do. And so what? The vaunted Yankee bullpen and this unbelievable rotation the Yankees are supposedly having with Tanaka and Happ and Severino, these guys that are supposed to be gamers. What happens? Tanaka comes out in the fifth inning, and immediately Mookie Betts doubles or triples. Next thing you know, it's 6-5. And the next thing you know, by the seventh inning, the Red Sox take control of the game. That's because the Red Sox have this fight and this grit in them. And the Yankees, I feel like, don't have that right now. They don't have the stomach for it. That's what's tough. When the Yankees weren't hitting very well a couple weeks ago, they were on the West Coast trip, went to Oakland, lost two or three. They go to Seattle. This is a microcosm again. And I don't. This is. And I really like Aaron Boone. I just don't understand what's happening here. They're in Seattle, got an opportunity to sweep the series. They had a runner at second in the seventh inning with nobody out. Mm-hmm. And you're not bunting him over. You know, you got Neil Walker at the plate that's batting 210 or something. You don't want to bunt the guy over and just try to steal a run here and get a win. But it's like they don't do that. They just throw him out there. They play the game, and we'll see what happens. Last night, they're playing a Baltimore Oriole team that's got 100-something losses and 40-something wins. You're up 6-0 in the middle of the game. You end up winning the game 10-8, luckily because you hit the ball, but you blew huge leads with this vaunted bullpen. You need to win these games. Mm-hmm. These are the games you have to win. Now, this team could, when the playoffs start, a couple things happen, and now all of a sudden they're competing for a World Series. But you talk about when you're looking at projecting teams going into the playoffs, the teams that you got to love are Boston, you got to love Oakland, you got to love Houston, yeah. You got to love the Indians. Even though the Indians last night had a lead against Boston, and what happens? In a game that the Red Sox don't even need. They find a way to come back and win. That's why you got to love the Red Sox going into the playoffs.
That is something that I have noticed from this Red Sox team because I show a lot of their highlights in the summer. I watch a lot of their games over the summer.
Well, I know, you know, you're kind of interested. You got a gal that's a big Red Sox fan too, so she probably makes you do that.
Exactly. Yeah. She's a big Red Sox fan, big Patriots fan. But those double Boston whammy fans. But yeah, that is the thing that I have noticed with the Red Sox is they just seem to get the job done. However they need to.
They find
to,
a way. Yeah.
However, I actually went to Red Sox Astros on Sunday Night Baseball early September, a couple weeks ago. Astros take a 5-1 lead, and the Red Sox, the Red Sox took a 5-1 lead. The Astros come back to tie it.
Yep.
Okay, so it's 5-5, bottom of the ninth. I'm like, they're going to walk this off somehow. They're going to walk this off. A couple batters later, walk off single down the
they find right a way to line, win.
And they found a way to
they
win.
They find a way to
despite
win.
Despite blowing a lead, you know, all the momentum being in the Astros' favor, big night, spotlight, Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN, all this stuff, and the Red Sox come away with the walk-off win. It's just kind of been a microcosm of their season,
exactly.
And that's why I truly do think that even despite their bullpen woes or whatever people are saying, they can overcome that. They have the offense to do it, and they just have there's something to be said about the it factor. It's such a cliche. It's something, you know, it's something that people bring up. And I actually, you know, it's tough to say that they don't have it because I see it with this team a ridiculous
amount. Do. I mean, and it's very hard for me to say because there's nothing worse for me than when the Red Sox are successful. I mean, I much rather see the Red Sox lose than the Yankees win. Let's be honest. That's reality for me as a Yankee fan. But when you look at this team, how can you not love their fight? And that's my point. Like, they have an intangible piece that I think Houston had last year. I think the Yankees had last year when they made the trade for Frazier. The Yankees kind of turned it around. They had some passion. We're never going to quit. Remember the thumbs down thing from the Mets game that they got? You know, I mean, there was a lot of fire there. This team the Yankees have this year, you just don't feel like they're going to come back. You don't feel like when something bad happens that they can answer the bell. And this bullpen, the Dellin Betances and the, you know, and the David Roberts, I mean, Robertsons and the, you know, and the, I mean, in the Chris, in the Britons and the Chapmans, I mean, these are some huge names. These are some game names.
Does it kind of feel like once the Yankees fell way back in the division race that they've kind of just been floating along since?
They have been because they've been basically a 500 baseball team since then. But again, but they've let so many games get away that the Red Sox wouldn't have let get away this year. Like, the Red Sox find ways to beat you. I mean, how about the game that when the Yankees got swept, what is it, in middle August, the fourth game on Sunday, the Yankees had a lead and they're booting the ball around. Game one of the series, they have a 3-1 lead in the ninth and they had two errors, you know, throwing balls around. For whatever reason, they just don't have, at least what it looks like right now, the stomach to compete where you have to compete. Where the Red Sox, they do. I can't imagine the Yankees taking a stomach punch like a grand slam home run in Fenway Park in the fifth or sixth inning this year and coming back and winning a game. But, you know, but you had this feeling that the Yankees couldn't close the door, and they couldn't. I mean, how Tanaka comes in the next inning in the fifth inning after getting up 6-4 and allows Mookie Betts to double off you. You can't let the best player in baseball beat you. And then you know, they bring in, then that's the other thing, the way we're managing it. They bring in Chad Green, who's been an amazing bullpen pitcher. If you're a Yankee fan, you follow him. He's really good for an inning. He's not good for the second inning. He mows the Sox down in the sixth. They bring him in the seventh. The next thing you know, the Red Sox are leading. And then it ends up being an 11-6 blowout. And that's just the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox. That's why Red Sox fans really need to calm down and to exhale and say, you know what? we may not win the World Series. It's hard to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. You got to go through two. You got to go through the divisional, then you got to go the ALCS or NL divisional, then NLCS. It's not like you just got to win one series and get the World Series. You got to win two short series to get there.
I'll tell you one thing though: the AL is winning the World Series.
Well, yeah, you got to believe that.
Think about the best teams in the league.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Who's the best in the National League?
There's no question. Yeah, I mean, I think the hottest team. Well, I mean, the best team is just Chicago.
Yeah.
But they're not the best. But they're not.
But are you scared of Chicago?
No. Are you scared of anybody? Are you scared of anybody out there? You're just not.
No.
But, again, in a short series and in baseball, you just don't know. I mean, I go back to the 80 World Series. What year was when Oakland, when the Dodgers beat the A's?
I was negative years old.
Oh, man, that's depressing for me. But anyway, Kurt Gibson at the iconic home run where he could barely walk.
Oh, yeah, time.
That Oakland A's team was the best, I mean, they Canseco, McGuire, you know, Lansford, Ricky Henderson. I mean, they were loaded. I mean, the team was loaded. And here's the L.A. Dodgers that weren't supposed to be in there at all, and they find a way to win. So baseball is baseball. You just never know. But when you're looking...
He's pumping his arm.
Exactly. That's the one. But when you look at this, you know, the AL definitely has the dominant teams. There's no question. And we haven't even talked about Houston, and we haven't talked about the Indians, because those are two great teams. And Oakland. I mean, Oakland is another team. They remind me of the Red Sox. They have some grit in them and some fight in them. The Yankees got to find that if they're going to compete at that level. But if you're a Red Sox fan today, you got to sit back and relax, enjoy the rest of the season, and know that this team will fight for you. May not happen, may not win. It's hard to do that, but you know this team's going to fight for you. There's no question about that.
No, and they'll get a Yankees squad, or they'll get an Athletic squad who they'll be favored against.
Of course. Well, they're going to be favored against anybody.
Yeah, they will. But, you know, more so Cleveland or Houston, and they've earned that for themselves.
And what has to, and for the teams like an Oakland or a Yankee in New York that's going to have to go into Boston and play, they got to play the card that, hey, like all the pressure is going to be on Boston. And there's no question the Yankees have the talent and the depth, and they have the names to be able to beat the Red Sox. I mean, they're 500 with the Red Sox this season. There's no question. And the Yankees let a couple games get away. But at the end of the day, I think if you're a Red Sox fan, you got to take a deep breath, relax, don't sweat the middle relief, and just trust that it's going to work out. Because if anyone's going to get it done, they are. They've got the type of team, the type of grit. They remind me of the 98 Yankees. They just, those 98 Yankee teams, you can say what you want, but there were not some, none of those were big names, a lot of those guys. You know, we have the Jeters, we get that stuff, but you know, they're winning world championships with 24, 25 guys that are hitting 24 home runs a year, maybe one or two of them. They're moving people over, they're stealing bases, they're playing good defense, and they're making moments happen. This team reminds me of that 98 Yankee team.
On the subject of the AL versus the NL, the Braves have the strongest hold on the division of any of the three, but the Cubs have the best percentage. However, none of them, not a single team in the NL, is over 600. There is only one division leader that's not over 600, over 600 in the AL. So
yeah,
it's a pretty big gap.
It really is. Well, you look at the great, and if you look at the great teams and the great talent that they have in the National League, the Atlanta Braves are a young group that's going to be great in the future. But they're not a team you look at and think they're going to win a World Series.
They're not world beaters.
Exactly, and neither is Chicago. I mean, you think the Dodgers with their names, they would be the team out west. But you look at Arizona, and
you look at
Colorado. I mean, those are, you know, it's unbelievable what's happening out there. But it should be in the AL. We'll see. But anyway, we take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some Notre Dame football, my friend. Notre Dame's an interesting story to me. I think this team has got something happening here. Oh, they're 3-0. They've been they've looked average at times, but then they beat a Michigan team that I think had expectations to play in this tournament. We're going to talk to Tom Noy, South Bend Tribune, Notre Dame football insider, when we get back.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
You know, whether you love them or hate them, they're so relevant in the college football world. I mean, you know, Notre Dame football is a staple, you know, and I think everybody kind of pays attention. There's a few independents out there, but they are the independents you kind of pay attention to. And there's pros and cons to being there. But Notre Dame really does. You look at their schedule, they have a real shot here. If they were to run the table, they got a real shot here to get themselves in the playoff. You agree?
3-0.
Well, I mean, today not 3-0, but if they were to run the table the rest of the season.
No, they're 3-0 now.
They're 3-0 now.
Yeah.
They got to run the table. Or you got to, you know, I mean, when you look at their schedule, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about their opportunities there if they were to run this, right?
Well, they've got some, I mean, they've got some big games coming up. If you're on the table as Notre Dame,
you got to get in.
That's just what happens. You get into the football playoffs.
All right, well, let's get the inside scoop from our friend from the South Bend Tribune, Notre Dame insider here on the TikTok Zero's guest line on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game, Tom Noy. Good morning, Tom.
What's happening, gents?
What's going on today? You know, you're in Winston-Salem. Obviously, the Irish are taking on the Demon Deacons today. Did you make it into the stadium all right? Was the traffic all right for you?
Oh, yeah. Compared to the traffic that you have to deal with in South Bend, where it's 80,000 people, you come to a stadium where it's 31,000. It's like, wait a minute, is there even a game today? What time's the game tipping off?
All right, let's
no
talk.
No worries whatsoever.
Let's get into this Irish football team. Interesting team. I think coming into the season, there was obviously some expectation that they could be all right. They go and play a game against Michigan. There was some expectation with Michigan as they could have been one of the best teams in the country, and they handle Michigan, but have had two, I would say, average games against Ball State and Vanderbilt. But again, when you look at their schedule, Tom, they've got, you know, today, obviously, every game's important. You got Wake this week, then you got to play, you get Stanford at home next week, Virginia Tech the week after that, and then, you know, obviously, USC at the end of the year. If Notre Dame finds a way to get all these things taken care of, are they a national championship contender?
Yes, and without a doubt, if they go undefeated, because it's the Notre Dame name, because it's the Notre Dame brand, they will be in the college football playoff. There's no question about it. Now, if you lose one game, there's still a pretty good chance they get in just because of the name recognition. But it's really with this program, you only have a one game leeway where, you know, you can't lose two and say, well, we'll bounce back and we'll go win our conference championship game because they're not in a conference.
Right.
So it's really week to week with these guys, and every week is a playoff for them. But that's what they signed up for, being an independent and being with no conference affiliation.
So what are you seeing with these guys? You know, like I said, Michigan game was a complete game for them. I thought Wimbush played really well defensively. They look strong. You know, Michigan's a good football team. They win that game. But against Ball State and Vanderbilt, you know, Ball State was an uncomfortable game. Maybe you may be looking past them a little bit after a huge game against Michigan. But the Vanderbilt game dominated the first half, but looked really sloppy in the second half. Like, what's your take on where they're at right now?
As good of a feeling as it was around these guys after they beat Michigan to open the season at night at Notre Dame Stadium, the last couple of weeks has been like, well, are they the eighth ranked team in the country? Like, how good can this team be? It's almost like they did take kind of a step back the last couple of weeks, because you figured Ball State, they're going to roll over Ball State, and it's a one possession game. Well, okay, then they got the hangover out of their system against Ball State after playing Michigan. They're going to roll over Vandy, and it's a one possession game. So it's something where I don't know. Maybe we'll see a game like that, one sided game today. But Brian Kelly said even before Vanderbilt, he said, "Look, we're just not going to go out and truck people 52-3. We're going to go out and we're just going to grind people up. And as long as we win the football game, however we need to do it," I think he's okay with that.
Tom, we're out here in Vermont, and there might not be a lot of people out here that are very familiar with Notre Dame football. They might not know about this specific Fighting Irish football team. Give me a couple reasons why people out here should be in tune with this football team. Give me some of the reasons to watch. Give me what is their shining star.
Other than the fact that it's Notre Dame, like there's right. It's never a dull moment with these guys. Like, it's always interesting. You love them, you hate them. People are going to tune in and see what Notre Dame football is all about. This year, hopefully, as we move forward, it's still going to be about the defense. Defensively, they're really good, even though they're working with their third different defensive coordinator in as many years in Clark Lea. So they do it defensively. And offensively, I think, really, the last couple of weeks, it hasn't been really easy on the eyes, the way they play. So we might see a quarterback change to start the game with Ian Book today, stepping in for Brandon Wimbush. But offensively, if they can get rolling, they've got talented skill players, but they just haven't been able to really get in sync yet this season.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that. Ian Book, it looks like I was reading something this morning that Ian Book is going to start today in front of Wimbush. So what can we expect out of Book?
Better in the passing game. I think that's one of the reasons why Brian Kelly's going to make this move, is Ian Book is a better passer than Brandon Wimbush, who really hasn't shown it the first 3 weeks of the season, that he's any better than what he was last year when he struggled. And the one issue that I have with Ian Book starting is Brandon Wimbush really struggled last year on the road. Like, he couldn't do it against Miami. He couldn't do it against Stanford. This is Notre Dame's first road test of the year, and you're basically telling Brandon Wimbush, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to go with Ian Book. Yeah, they feel confident they can win with Ian Book. He's better in the passing game. He's more efficient. He completes the passes. And what they need out of Ian Book is some sustained drives offensively, because as good as his defense can be, it's just been on the field way too long the first 3 weeks of the season.
What kind of kid is Wimbush? Will he handle this okay?
I think so. I think he's said and done all the right things, because we went through this last year where he was hurt against North Carolina, and Ian Book came in. Ian Book was really good. They have said all along that it's not a competition, that they're good friends. They have a good working relationship. Ian Book has always said that and said, hey, I'm just going to prepare like I'm the starter. Like, they both prepare like they're the number one guy. So now if this is Ian Book's turn and this thing gets rolling, I think you have to stay with Ian Book. So we'll see how it works out.
Home next week against Stanford, on the road at Virginia Tech the following week. Then you got Pitt, Navy, at Northwestern, against Florida State, Syracuse, and USC. Listen, you get it by Stanford, and you find a way to win on the road against Virginia Tech. You should win all these games, and you should set yourself up for a huge game at the end of the year against USC, right?
Yeah, you should. But the thing is the Virginia Tech game is real. Like, this is another step to get to 4-0. Then Stanford, if you get Stanford next week, the Virginia Tech game will tell you a lot about this football team, because last year they were not prepared whatsoever to face the type of atmosphere they faced going down to South Florida and playing Miami. They're going to face that atmosphere times 10 in Blacksburg. So if they can find a way to win in Blacksburg, then you say, oh, you know what? This program, it is different. Maybe this is a year that they can run the regular season table and get into the college football player for the first time in school history.
Isn't it amazing, literally to me amazing, that a team like Notre Dame doesn't understand what it's like, couldn't handle the intensity of another crowd? I mean, it's Notre Dame, for goodness sakes. I mean, Notre Dame,
absolutely.
I mean, either you love them or you hate them. If you hate them, you hate them. You know what I mean? I mean, I would think that there's raucous crowds everywhere they go. It's like they're like the Beatles half the time when they're traveling across country, whether they're good or bad. So to think that they couldn't handle that kind of mentality is kind of crazy to me. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it this year. I do have to ask you this, though, Tom, and I talk about this all the time. Don't you wish we had like an 8-team playoff? I mean, the greatest sports event in the history of sports events is the NCAA tournament. There's not a better tournament in the country than that tournament. There's not a better playoff in the country in anything. If we could just put, I mean, personally, I'd like to see 16 teams get in there. That would be unbelievable for me. But if just 8 teams.
Getting greedy.
Well, just think about it. Like, I just look at a team like UCF. How intriguing would it have been last year for Central Florida to have to play Alabama in the first round of that tournament?
You know what? Eliminate the conference championship game.
Perfect.
And go to an 8-team playoff.
Yeah.
That would be fine with me.
I think it would be unbelievable. And the thing is there's no games, right, between like Thanksgiving until January or like middle of December. Mm-hmm. You start playing these things like the next week. You know, I mean, I just think it would be unbelievable. I mean, but usually the purists I talk to hate it. You know, they're like, oh, stop talking. You know, you can't be doing that. But I feel like, you know, for like you use anybody. You know, if Notre Dame was to lose today and then lose middle, you know, another couple days down there, and they finish with 2 losses, they're basically out of it. Mm-hmm. And then these bowl games have turned into just, they don't mean anything. You know what I mean? I just think it would be unbelievable, and you'd keep a lot more teams in it. I mean, I would love to see a bigger tournament.
And Notre Dame would like that, because we do a prediction thing at the start of every year, and one of the questions is, you know, what bowl game is Notre Dame going to wind up in? You know what? If they're not in the college football playoff, who really cares? Like, how many times can Notre Dame go and win a Citrus Bowl or go and win the Pinstripe Bowl? It's Notre Dame. Like, nothing against those bowls, but when you cover this team, when you go and play for Notre Dame, your main goal, your only goal, is to play for a national championship. And if you fall short of that, it's like, yeah, great. Big deal. They won the Citrus Bowl over LSU. They didn't play for a national championship, and they haven't won one in 30 years. That's what's mind-boggling.
Tom, we know how good Alabama, Clemson, Georgia have looked, and we know that they're kind of the cream of the crop in college football this year. What do you need to see from Notre Dame over these next couple weeks that will convince you that the Fighting Irish can actually play up to that competition, can actually go and beat an Alabama in a college football playoff? Because I'm looking at them every week, and I'm not convinced at all that they're even on their level right now.
And they're not. They would have no business playing against an Alabama, a Clemson, a Georgia, maybe even an Ohio State at this point. Offensively, you've just got to find a groove offensively. Like, there's been too many three and outs, too many empty drives, too many possessions where you've got a chance to make a play offensively. And for whatever reason, you're just not making that play. You're not clicking, and you're putting it in the hands of your defense. The defense has given up more yards as we've gotten through each week. It's gone from like 309 to 349. And then last week against an average Vanderbilt team, Vanderbilt got 420 yards on this defense. So the defense is starting to get worn down. The offense has got to start carrying its load here.
Tom Noy, you're the best, buddy. Enjoy the game table. Touch base with you down the road.
You got it, guys. Talk
Thanks,
to you
buddy.
Soon.
Interesting talk. I mean, I don't think Notre Dame's anywhere near Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia. I mean, they're just not. But again, they don't have to be today. You know, it's about one game and you get into the playoff. But that's the thing about being a college football fan. And this is why it would be and I'm a college football fan. You know, I enjoy watching the games. I pay attention to how teams are doing. I may not watch every game, but if you just want to watch it just because you like to watch the competition of it, I mean, it's the matchups that are intriguing. Now, the last year, the two matchups were great, you know, for the playoff. But it would have been fun to see what UCF could have done against a Georgia, a Notre Dame, not Notre Dame, an Alabama or a Clemson, some of those teams, some of those powerhouse teams. It would have been fun to see.
Oh, I love the UCF story.
Yeah.
Real quick, my dad writes in. I wanted to ask Tom this, but I saw this too late. My dad writes in. Thanks for listening, Dad. College football has changed so much over the last 20 years. Parody.
Sure.
Does Notre Dame still consider itself that same national power? Does it still have that same following today as it did 20 years ago? Because all these other programs have kind of caught up and surpassed
them. I would have to answer his question and say yes. I mean, they're the only team in the country that's got a national. NBC follows them around the country.
Yeah.
NBC, Notre Dame football. I mean, there's no question. They have fan base all over the country. I just don't know if they're recruiting the kids as they're getting in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I mean, but that's the problem with college football right now. It's so top heavy in terms of recruiting. You got the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the Ohio States, and I guess now you can kind of throw Georgia in there, but I don't think we got to see Georgia sustain it. You know, and then you got a team. You got everybody else, and that's the problem. That's why if we had a tournament that had like 8 to 16 teams in it, figure out a way to do it. I get it. They got to go to school. They got to go to class. Figure it out.
And the injuries.
Yeah, of course.
Worried about the injuries.
Of course, you're worried about the injuries. But again, you're practicing every day, right? So the point is, you know, somebody's going to end up losing. So every week you have a little tournament. They play once a week, or once a month, or once a week. You probably have games on Saturdays, and then the next Saturday they play. It's like the high school playoffs. You know, here, you got how many teams get in? 4 or 6 teams get in, you know, and then eight teams get in. Yeah. First week is the first round, second week, second round, third week, third round. Just do it till the end.
Well, I'll tell you what, Georgia's college football playoff hopes are going to take a big hit today when they lose to the Missouri Tigers. So.
Oh, I see you're wearing the Mizzou colors today, buddy.
You're not
I see it right
say
over
this
there.
This isn't a visual medium.
Take a quick break. When we come back, it's time for Hot or Not. No, it's not Hot or Not. Out in left field. See? Out in left field. Keep you on your toes. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Yeah, this is a good one. Now, my wife, Monica, is supremely talented at a lot of things, okay? But this is a competition that she could win. Listen to this. Aaron, what do you got?
Women at the Ohio State Fair compete for their best spouse call.
Listen to this.
Daryl, dinner's ready. Daryl.
So explain it. Explain this.
There are contestants. There are three judges. The judges rate based on three factors. First factor is their first impression. Second factor is their last impression. Third factor is overall presentation. The first winner of all time was a lady, I think, named Rose, and her husband's name was Roy. And I'm gonna let the sound speak for itself.
Sounds good.
Roy! Can you hear me? You get yourself in here right now! Come on! When I first started, my husband said to me, "You're not going to do that, Bonnie. You're not! Oh, please don't do it." I said, "I'm going to do it." I defied him, and I won first. So after that, he's gung-ho for me.
Bonnie is a gamer, right? Bonnie's won a bunch of blue ribbons in this Iowa State Fair. So essentially what happens here, Jack, is that there's a stage, and they have judges, and these women get up, and they start, you know, this is how they call their husbands, like, to get them in for dinner, or like, let's go, I want to get out of here. And so the one that does it the best wins this award. Then they even expand it to kids calling their mothers.
Mom!
Oh, my God.
Mom! Mom! Mom, if you don't come here, then there is no Oprah's for a month.
All right, that one wins for me.
Yeah, exactly. That one probably went for me. So can you imagine that? Like, honestly, my wife, when she's yelling to me, I know exactly when she's mad or when she needs something. It's like, you know. And she doesn't just say Jeff. She says Jeffrey. When I hear the word Jeffrey to me for my whole life has made me go, oh, boy. Because when my mother would yell Jeffrey, I knew I was in trouble. And when my wife yells Jeffrey, I'm like, I must be in trouble. So she could definitely win that competition.
This is why I'm thankful I only have a one syllable name.
Yeah.
Because you can't lengthen it.
Exactly.
It's just Jack.
Yeah.
And it's so you're happy with me.
Yeah.
They're always
perfect.
Happy with
See,
me.
See, when my middle name came into it, it was like Jeffrey Joseph, I was like, hide.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get out the way because I know that I'm in deep doo-doo when I hear that.
That's funny. Okay, so what I thought was this. At first, we were talking about like a mating call. I'm like, well, why are you doing this?
These are not mating calls, pal.
Like coming for dinner or coming. Or like,
let's
I
go.
Need
I need
you.
To get out of here. Like, I need you to fix it. There's a spider in the bathroom or there's a leak downstairs or something. Like, hey, let's go. Yeah. Jeffrey Joseph.
This is, they've already hooked the fish, but now they're just screaming at you.
Oh, yeah. And I love the one that I love. Was it Bonnie that won? And Roy was like, oh, can you imagine being poor in that? You know? Oh, my God. But hey, blue ribbon.
They judge this every year in Ohio.
Oh, it's the Iowa State Fair.
Is it Ohio or Iowa?
Oh, no.
It's Iowa.
I didn't have... I wrote the story from memory, which is
it's okay. Well, whatever. It's in the United States. It was in Iowa, but no big deal. All right, time for your sports update, my man.
Now, back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki is out today. Jack Cordy, NBC5 sports anchor Jack Cordy, joining us. Great job, first hour, pal.
Oh, I'm just learning from the best.
Love having you. Yeah, the best. Please, spare me. I'll tell you how good I am.
I was talking about Aaron.
Good move. Good move.
Dummy's guide on how not to produce a radio show.
Well, let me tell you how good I am. I came today and my key didn't work in the door. I thought they were trying to tell me something. The door was locked. I'm like, my key doesn't work. Are they trying to tell me something?
And then you locked me out.
Well, I don't have a key, so just Aaron locked you out, not me. They don't give me key. I don't have a key anymore.
I made sure the handle turned and everything before I came in. I know. There's a ghost going around the building locking doors.
This place is haunted, for the record, just so you understand.
It's old. It's an old
building.
It's
haunted. Like they've had like Mike Zarni. You know who Mike Zarni is? Star 92, the morning host here at Star 92 with Mary Sensei.
No, I thought you just meant Arnie.
No, you know, Arnie. Haunted. Yeah, Arnie haunted. Yeah, it'd be a lot louder if Arnie was haunting it. But truth be told, like Mike is part of he's like part of a ghost crew that goes around and like hunts for ghosts. Who are you gonna call? You know what I mean?
Ghostbusters. And then, like, the stuff you see on, like, TLC.
Yeah, does that stuff, and he's done, like, whatever they do, and he's shown me. During this time of year, I have him come in and do a segment with us so we can tell his show. It's crazy. This place is haunted. So maybe there's someone just trying to, maybe the ghosts just don't like me.
No, they're just trying
or they
to
don't like
me
you.
Out. Yeah,
no, I don't know. I was left out as well. Hey, listen, NFL Sunday, everyone gets fired up. It's NFL season now. We're going into week 3. A lot of interesting stories. Patriots, we talked about earlier in the show, obviously not starting out exactly the way they expect to start out. Good win, first game of the year against Houston, a typical win for the Patriots. For whatever reason, Belichick just owns his old coaches.
Yeah.
You know, O'Brien can't beat Belichick. It's interesting. None of his guys can go off away from him and win, but good win against Houston. Goes on the road against Jacksonville and really gets kind of handed it to him. Jacksonville just looked dominant against the Patriots. And now, obviously, a big game against Detroit. The Giants, on the other hand, another local team here, the New York Football Giants. I got to tell you, I'm looking at their schedule with the way they're playing. And you talked about your team being 0-16.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realization this team could be 0-16. I can't believe I'm saying it with the talent they have on the roster, but... They're at Houston tomorrow. They come home and play New Orleans, both losable games. They got to go to Carolina, losable game. Play Philadelphia, the defending champions, losable game.
With Wentz.
At Atlanta, losable game. They play Washington at home, okay. Then they got to go to San Francisco. You got to play Tampa, and Tampa all of a sudden is a juggernaut offensively. They got to go to Philadelphia. They got to play the Bears, who are much better. They got to go to Washington. Then they got to play Tennessee. Then they're at Indianapolis, and they finish it with Dallas. That's not good.
That is not an easy schedule.
And here's what I was going to say about the Giants. Bernie and I debate all the time about Eli Manning. And Eli Manning deserves all the recognition for what he's done in his career. Arguably has had two of the greatest Super Bowl drives in the history of the Super Bowl. The first one against the undefeated Patriots. The second one against another very talented Patriot team where he made that great throw to Manningham. brought them down the field on a game-winning drive, won two Super Bowls, and deserves it. I don't want to hear anybody say that it wasn't Eli Manning that won the Super Bowl for them. It was their defense. Yes, the defense kept the Giants in the game, but when the Giants had to have two drives, Eli Manning made those happen. And let's face it, the Tyree catch was unbelievable. But the fact that he stayed upright through all that pressure to get that throw off, he deserves all the accolades he's got. He deserved to be the MVP of the two games, the two throws. He won those games for them when it mattered. But Eli Manning, in my opinion, has always been an average NFL quarterback. He just has. I mean, I would honestly say that if the Giants stayed the course of Phillip Rivers, that they probably'd have two or three more championships with the roster, with the teams that Eli's had. I mean, they have been a 500 football team with him for a long time. And they basically they were 10-6, they were at 9, they'd sneak into the playoffs, get hot, and they'd roll. And now you're looking at a guy that is, an older quarterback. He's not accurate. He's got no accuracy. He has a hard time seeing the field. I mean, week one, he played a decent game. He only turned the ball over once, which is shocking for him because he turns the ball over a whole lot. But that turnover ended up really costing them the game. And it's not his fault with some of the drops that happened, but he misses a lot of open guys. And last week against Dallas, and I know Dallas played really well defensively, but boy, he missed a lot of opportunities to help that football team win in a winnable football game. I just don't know what they're doing here. I look at Odell Beckham Jr. and I think, I just signed the biggest contract in the history of football. He's happy. He's going to make his money. But did the Giants miss something here by not saying, you know what, with the team that we have right now and the needs that we have, should we have traded Odell Beckham Jr.? Think about what you could have gotten back for Odell Beckham Jr. Think about what you could have done. They got, because right now with the team that they have, you can't have Eli Manning as your quarterback. Number one, you're going to hurt him. The offensive line is so bad. But number two, he is so antsy in the pocket that he has a hard time. He's not even looking down the field. I mean, he's literally just trying not to get popped out there. And you can't win that way.
So you have Eli signed. Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. You're going to laugh about my Giants. Here we go.
What I was going to say is that with that line, what you're going to see is Eli Manning leaving the league the way Tony Romo did, broken and afraid.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, Eli's been an Iron Man in the NFL forever. I mean, you don't want to see him get hurt. I don't want to see him get hurt. I just think there's a point where you say, where are we as an organization? Like, if I'm Odell Beckham Jr. right now, I'm thinking, oh, boy, where are we going?
Well, he got his money. He doesn't care. Did you see him dancing in that video after he got there?
I know. I mean, he got his money, and I guess that's the way today's athletes. But for me, if I'm trying to win, I mean, and the other thing about it is, we know how quickly your career's over in the NFL. Like, look at Dez Bryant. I mean, was it like 5 or 6 years ago, Dez Bryant was the wide receiver in football?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was the guy. I mean, he was the elite player. Like, I can't believe the Cowboys were able to get him. He's the guy you build around.
It was him and Calvin Johnson.
And now he has no job. Doesn't have a job. It goes by quick. So your window to win is so small that for the Giants to say, we're going to invest all this money in Odell Beckham Jr., which is he deserves. He's a great athlete. He's a great wide receiver. I have been very critical of him over the years here, especially with the way he's acted in some certain situations that I didn't like as a fan of a team and an organization. But he definitely has worked his butt off. I think maybe the injury, kind of straightened him out a little bit in terms of mentality. He's saying all the right things. He's making his money. But did the Giants do what they needed to do to help this franchise by doing that? And is he ever going to win? I mean, that schedule, realistically speaking, unless some things really change, I mean, that's a 1-15, 0-16, 2-14 season again.
I mean, looking at that schedule, I don't know when they would be favored, if ever, against any of those teams. I mean, maybe the Bears at home, maybe.
And that's pushing it because the Bears are a good football team.
They have a great defense.
I mean, look, let's be honest here. Look at this. New Orleans is Drew Brees, they can score points.
They won't be favored.
At Carolina.
Won't be favored.
Home against Philadelphia.
Won't be favored.
At Atlanta. Maybe favored against Washington at home. Maybe.
Maybe.
At San Francisco, not going to be favored.
Nope.
Home against Tampa Bay, maybe, depending on where we're at. At Philly, not favored. Against the Bears, not favored. At Washington, not favored. Home against Tennessee, maybe.
That might be it.
At Indianapolis, I would say not. And home against Dallas. Think about that.
I don't think Tennessee is a maybe. If their season continues the way it's going, I think that's definitely Giants favored.
Well, but by the time that game is played on December 16th, they could be 0-whatever at that point.
Yeah, but I don't see the Titans Have the Titans won a game yet, too?
I don't know. I don't know about
that. I don't think they're winning anytime soon.
And you might be right, too, but whether they haven't won a game, it doesn't matter. The point is they could potentially be 0-something or 1-something. I mean, I don't know. Things have to change. Now, against Jacksonville, they had a chance to win that football game. Mm-hmm. The defense played great, and the defense played great against Dallas. But this offense, and Eli is just, it's almost as if you think, man, maybe Eli should say, you know what? Maybe I let one of these younger kids play. You know, just maybe I say, you know what? Let's just hang it up here. You know, this is just not working. You got a guy that can at least be a little bit mobile in the pocket, because a guy like Eli that can't move very well, it's going to be a struggle for him. It really is.
So they have Eli signed through next year.
Yeah.
And they're going to be paying him $17 million next year. Here's what I think the Giants are doing. Look at what the Giants have around Eli right now. They just locked up Odell Beckham. They have a generational talent at running back that they just drafted.
That's
second
very
overall.
True.
They have Evan Engram
yep.
at tight end. So they have these weapons
Sterling
for
Shepherd.
Eli. They have Sterling Shepherd as a number two,
yep.
young buck. They draft Saquon, and they're like, we're just going to ride out Eli. We're going to ride out the ghost of Eli this year. We're going to ride him to a 2-14 record. We're going to get another high draft pick, and we're going to draft a quarterback. So this is a throwaway year. This quarterback, whomever they draft, whether it be the Missouri Tigers quarterback, Drew Locke, who has been forecasted as being the top quarterback picked in next year's draft, whether it's him or not, he will be stepping into a situation that will be very favorable. He will have weapons. He'll have a defense. It's not a great defense, but it's a defense. They have players, and he will have weapons, and he will be built for success there. I think that's what their plan is right now. Is we're just going to ride out Eli, get one more high draft pick. This isn't our year. We're not ready yet. And they'll draft a quarterback next year. And all of a sudden, this guy's going to step into an offense that's tailor-made and ready to succeed with weapons already built around him, already locked up on cheap, too, with Saquon on a rookie contract.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. 802-655-6672. You want to join our conversation? What's up, Aaron?
We doing our NFL picks this week?
Oh, we'll do them. Yeah, but we'll get to those. Right now, we got to get this. The thing about what you just said, though, I agree with you. I 100% with you on what you just said. But I have to ask this: this offensive line, they have so much work to do on the offensive line that's why I'm saying, yeah, they definitely have weapons. Beckham, Shepard, you know, Barkley, Evan Engram. They've got weapons. I mean, there's no doubting that. But they can't protect a quarterback. And that's what I'm saying is what you could have gotten back for Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, you know, especially in a situation where you have the running back. You know, look at what Dallas is doing. You know, Dallas has been doing with big-name wide receivers. They got a great running back and a great offensive line and a quality quarterback. I mean, a guy, at least a quarterback that they're keeping upright. If you can protect them, it's a different story. And that's where, you know, what you could have gotten back for Odell Beckham Jr., I think, is what separates, in my opinion, you know, over keeping him. You know, I mean, I just, where they're at right now is just, it's scary if you're a Giant fan. And you're right, this could be the Giant mentality. Maybe we're going to run this out with Eli. He's been a great soldier for us. He's been an unbelievable player. He's a great person. And I don't want to trash what Eli Manning's done as a football player, because it's not, he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's won championships for the Giants. You know, he's done some huge things for them. But, you know, he's always just kind of been like that Trent Dilfer type of quarterback. And we have a tendency to kind of put him up there with his brother and or people want to put him up there with his brother and Brady and kind of talk about him as being elite. I don't know if he's ever really been elite. He's been great when he's protected. He's had great moments, but I don't know if he's ever been consistently elite. For the exception of the year that Plaxico shot himself in the leg when the Giants were like 13-1 or something, or 12-1 when that happened, they really have always had very uncomfortable seasons and had to get hot late or win a game at the end of the season to get in the playoffs. Then they've rolled from there. But interesting stuff. You want to do some picks here, Aaron? You want to get our picks in? You want to get some football picks here? We got a few minutes. We can do that.
I sure do.
All right, here we go. Let's do this. All right. Let's do it real quick, kiddo. You got your picks right in front of you, Jack. We're going to go right down the road here. Giants and Texans. Giants traveling to Texans. Who do you got?
I'm going to take Houston.
You're going to take Houston with me? Yeah, the Giants, I think, are a 6-point dog in this. And what the hell? I'm going to take the Giants. Let's just go. They just turn the corner.
So go talking about from them going from 0-16, you're going to pick them at Houston?
This is a fan of me. That's my problem. I have to do it. I have to pick them. My heart says don't do. My heart says I'm going to pick Giants. My head says no, but I'm going to take the Giants. What the heck? 49ers and Chiefs. What do we got? Go ahead, Aaron.
All right. I'm going Chiefs.
Yeah, okay. Good move.
Tyreek Hill runs wild.
Oh, yeah. The Chiefs are awesome. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. Mahomes, I got the Chiefs. He's unbelievable. By the way, I drafted Mahomes in Fantasy League. Just want to say that. Colts and Eagles. The Colts, big win last week against Washington. Unbelievable on the road. They get to play the Eagles and your boy Carson Wentz.
No Jack Doyle, no W for the Colts. And Wentz is back.
That's right.
Eagles.
Yeah. I think the Eagles are going to win, too. Bengals and Panthers. The Bengals, playing against a Panther team that's driven. Couple big shots for Cam Newton last week to the head, but he is going to play. Who do you got this week, Jack?
No Mixon. I'm going Carolina at home.
I think the Bengals have been pretty decent lately, so yep. I'm going Bengals.
I'm
going
to say Carolina. I like them at home. Saints and Falcons, a high-flying Saints that did not look very high-flying against Cleveland. And the Falcons, who kind of look like they kind of came out of the shell last week, who do you got?
New Orleans on the road. Falcons, I don't trust.
Go ahead.
I'm going Falcons.
I got the Falcons as well. Bears and Cardinals. The Bears all of a sudden look like the... Hey, listen, people are talking big-time defense. So they got the big trade with Oakland. They're getting ready to take on the Cardinals. Who do you got?
Cardinals look like the worst team in the league right now.
Wow.
They look like the worst team in the league. They have no offense. Sam Bradford has lost a quarterback. They're ready to turn to Rosen. I'm taking the Bears just because Khalil Mack's going to run one.
Yeah.
Bears.
I got the Bears. Patriots and Lions. Pretty interesting game here. The Pats need a win. Team that's coming off a really difficult loss against Jacksonville. The Lions are a team that's coached by a former defensive coordinator from New England. This is close to your heart because you're a big Lions fan, Jack. What do you got?
Lions lose by a bunch, man. This isn't going to be pretty. Matt Patricia looks like he's lost in his backwards hat on the sidelines in Detroit. I got the Patriots by 2 touchdowns.
It's the Patriots. Bill Belichick's angry about last week, and he's going to come in there and whoop his former DC.
Yeah, they're on to next week. I got the Patriots as well. Yeah. Bills and Vikings. The Bills may be the worst team in football, my man.
That's
true. They're getting ready to go take on a ferocious Minnesota defense. Who you got?
The line on this is like 16.5.
Dude, they give me that. I'll take that all day.
I would take 21. It's exactly. The Vikings all day.
I'm taking the Bills. No, I'm kidding. Vikings.
Yeah, this is
Vikings.
An easy one. The Vikes are going to take care of business. Packers and Redskins. Packers just seem to find a way to win. I mean, you got to appreciate their kind of grit. They kind of find ways to get it done. Tie last week. How about 2 ties in the NFL in 2 weeks? That's crazy. Going against a Redskin team that had high expectations after the Arizona win, but lose a tough one at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Who do you got this week?
One-legged Aaron Rodgers.
All the time. That's right.
I think Aaron Rodgers could beat them with one leg, no arms. Yeah, it's Packers.
I got the Pack as well. All right, real quick, we got the Raiders and the Dolphins. Who you got?
Let's go Dolphins.
Yeah, who do you got?
Dolphins.
I'm with the Dolphins as well. Titans and Jags.
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 Yeah, the Jags roll that one. Broncos and Ravens. How about those 2-0 Broncos? Can't believe I'm saying it, but they're undefeated.
I like Case Keenum. Broncos.
I just have a feeling it's the Ravens.
It's the Ravens there at home. Chargers and Rams. This is an interesting matchup. I love what they're doing, what Los Angeles is doing with the Rams. That team is unbelievable. If the Chargers can put some points on the board, Jack.
The over-under on this game has to be 80, but I'm going Rams.
It's Rams.
I'm taking the Rams as well. And Cowboys, Seahawks. The Seahawks are not the same Seahawks. The Cowboys are not very good either, I don't think. So what do you got?
This is a tough one. Cowboys on the road just because Seahawks cannot block on that offensive line.
Yeah.
I think it's the Cowboys.
I got the Seahawks. Hate to tell you that, folks. It's going to be a close one, but the Seahawks pull it out. And the Steelers and the Buccaneers, the reeling Steelers, the Steelers that everybody, you know, is unbelievable team. They're reeling going against to play the Buccaneers, who, what's going on with them? Where'd they come from?
Fitzmagic, baby. Give me it all day. Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic. Buccaneers on Monday night.
Fitzmagic's about to have 1,200 yards through 3 games. I think it's the Bucs.
Thank God that Cleveland can't kick field goals. They seem would be 0-3. The Steelers are going to be 0-2-1 by the end of this week. Those are your picks. Don't go anywhere. Get your fantasy questions ready. We're just going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our boy Jake Kent gets you ready for your fantasy team in week 3. Don't go anywhere.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. Jake Kent is joining us right now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. You can text us in the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672. Get your fantasy football questions ready. And let me just tell you something about my boy Jake Kent. Okay, Jack, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You are looking at right here the 2-time champion, back-to-back champion of the Feather Earring League. I've won it 2 years in a row. And my boy Jake has helped me. Little bit, you know, I have questions. He's like, you know, it's a good pickup. Maybe you want to look at this player. Help me along the way. So what am I doing? I'm Jake's expertise. I'm giving out to the Chittenden County. Anyone listening, get your questions in. He can help you win championships. That's what it's all about, right?
So you're using him for personal gain?
No, never using him. I mean, he's got a talent base.
Listening to him for personal gain.
Of course, I've never used him. He's a friend of mine. I mean, I did, buddy. I'll be like, Jake, hey, buddy, you know, I needed some help. And Jake, for the record, first of all, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
So I'm sitting 0-2 right now in the league, the feather bearing league, and yeah. I'm facing 0-3 right in the face. So I'm a little anxious because you know I'm
them right where you want them.
Yeah, that's usually how we roll. But man, my team is not very strong. But enough about me. We'll get right to you, Jake. Who's the guy you got to have this week? Who's the sleeper you got to pick up for this week?
Yeah, so great question as always, and I'll dive right into that. One of the big topics this week, given that it's week three, is injuries. Like, it's already happening in the NFL, as it always does, where we have all sorts of people out this week due to injury. And just to touch on a couple of those guys and situations, Dalvin Cook, obviously a very high draft pick this year at running back, he's out. Latavius Murray is going to be the guy. They're almost a 17-point favorite. The Vikings over Buffalo, that's going to be a very positive game script. So he's actually available in a surprising number of leagues. Like 60% of leagues, Latavius Murray is just out there hanging out. So if you need a running back, he's really in a great spot. And you couldn't really ask for a more favorable game script than what he's going to have this week. They're going to give him a lot of touches. He's shown that he can be effective in the past with the Raiders. So Latavius Murray, a guy who, for whatever reason, is available in 60% of leagues, go get him. I think the other guy who's much higher owned, but if he's out there, certainly you would want him, is Tevin Coleman. Or if you have him, you're starting him. Last week, with Devontae Freeman out, he's out again this week. Coleman came up with about 70% of the snaps, which is great, about 100 rushing yards, 4 catches. So he's probably a top 5 running back this week for me, Tevin Coleman. So if you have him, make sure you're starting him. I would assume you would be. And then lastly, at running back, in Philadelphia, things are a mess. Ajayi's hurt. Darren Sproles, who's like 61 years old, I think, is hurt and ruled out this week. So Clement's going to be the guy again, I think. I didn't love his snap rate last week. It was okay. It wasn't great. But I think that they'll lean on him a little more after he was productive last week. He gets a good matchup with Tampa Bay. So Corey Clement, a guy, and Wendell Smallwood, if you absolutely had to, both guys who could be effective this week with running back injuries starting to stack up.
You're talking about top 5 running backs, and a guy who was drafted in the top 5, David Johnson, has been a major disappointment through these first 2 weeks. What about his usage rate? What do you see the rest of his season looking like?
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time this week looking at David Johnson because you're absolutely right. I think he is the best running back in football. Last we saw him healthy, I think that was a pretty easy case to make. I came into this year with Todd Gurley as my number one, and he's going to score 80. He's on pace for 118 touchdowns or something like that, so he's great. David Johnson, the exact opposite through 2 weeks. His usage rate's been down. They look just atrocious on offense, which we knew. That was the one drawback to picking him in the top 3 overall, was that his situation is bad. That being said, as I dug into his route tree, as I looked at the touches he's getting, part of the problem is they're using him in a manner that's not as unexpected as you might think, but it's not creative, it's old-fashioned, it's not productive. They're relying on yards after the catch. They're not putting the ball in the air to him. His charts are just absolutely a disaster, and we hope that very quickly they begin to fix it. If you look at his route running chart from late 2016 as opposed to this week or last week and the week before, it's night and day. It's absolutely a disaster. So they say he's going to get a lot more touches this week, which is part of the problem. I certainly will be happy if his volume starts to go up. If he starts to see more volume, that's great. That being said, if they're going to have him running everything in the back, if all of his touches are coming 10 yards in the backfield, with that offensive line and that current offensive situation with no one but Larry Fitzgerald on the outside, he's not going to be able to be productive. So they need to really go back and redesign the way they're using him, and hopefully we see that start to happen this week.
Drake, are there some guys that, you know, we talk a lot about fantasy football. You do it on the air here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. But, you know, a guy like Trey Burton that was going into the season, there's such expectation with him, a guy that people thought was, people were really high on him. And do we expect some of these guys to kind of wake up here as we get going here in the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's only 2 weeks, right? Like, you never want to overreact too much to 2 weeks. Now, you were having the conversation about Eli before this, and I think that's one of the examples where you can say, I've been saying since last year, there's no excuse for them going into this season with Eli. By the efficiency metrics, he's the 4th worst quarterback in the NFL. He has a 34% success rate. He's terrible, and we knew that going in. They never should have signed Odell Beckham to big money. They never should have signed Saquon Barkley to big money. It just doesn't make sense, especially given, and sorry for the Giants rant here, but giving Saquon Barkley the money you have to give him for drafting him in the spot you drafted him just will never make sense.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. But let me just say this. I agree with you on the other
thing. I hit on the wrong thing.
Saquon Barkley pickup, the Saquon Barkley thing is going to be a win. That's a guarantee. You cannot miss on a first or second round pick. You just can't.
Here's why, for me, it's not at least in the short term and probably in the mid run, not a win. One, running backs don't matter in football for the most part. Just as a blanket statement, you can get along without them just fine. Ask the New England Patriots. Number two, look at what
the New England Patriots. Hold on, man. The New England Patriots have Tom Brady as their quarterback. I mean, you have an elite quarterback. You have a savant as a coach, and yes, you have an elite quarterback.
Exactly. I understand. My point is, you would never see them spend that kind of money on one running back, right? Now, collectively, they might pay five or six guys that amount. The problem is, when you draft a running back that early, it is mandated what you have to pay him. And because you're now locked up paying him a required salary for the next 5 years, rather than having, hopefully, your quarterback of the future on a minimum salary, look at Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, look at Mitch Trubisky with the Bears, and you'll see teams who are building in a different way. You can't miss with Khalil Mack either. And you have Mitchell Trubisky now on a league minimum salary for a number of years. All of that to say, don't overreact to the first 2 weeks, except for with Eli. I think he's total garbage this year. But I think guys who we expect to do things in terms of volume, as long as they're seeing targets, which Trey Burton is in that offense, and I think that long-term he will be productive, they really do look like they're trying to do their best to work him into the offense. I think if you're seeing positive signs, you're okay through 2 weeks, but there are some guys where you just got to look at it and say, this is not going to work. And if David Johnson's design doesn't change, and if they don't do, and I don't know what the hope would be for Eli, but yeah, through 2 weeks, you're okay unless there's something dramatic that you're seeing.
Jake, I like to stream defenses, and good. I'm wondering this week, what's an under-the-radar defense pick that's not very owned, one that's kind of flying low that you think would be a good stash and pickup for this week?
Yeah, I haven't looked at ownership percentages for defense this week in particular. It's not something that I typically have to focus on too much, because there's always somebody around who's going to have a pretty good matchup overall. I think probably people got off Baltimore a little bit after they just looked so terrible against Cincinnati. That's a defense I'm still pretty high on overall. They get Denver. I'm not all that worried about Denver. I think that's someone you could look at. Houston has really underperformed. Obviously, they get the Giants this week. So, again, I think though through the first 2 weeks, they've really kind of let down as a defense overall. But I do think they're in a spot where you could really use Houston. Other than that, Miami surprisingly has been absolutely dominant in the secondary. It feels really fake to me. I think it's mostly just situational. And as I looked at just some of the charts and some of the things that they're doing defensively, I don't love what's there, but it's working. It's one of those times where you look at 2 weeks and you go, okay, so far so good, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But they've been dominant in the passing game. So you could look at using a Miami against Oakland. Certainly Oakland has had its struggles offensively. Jared Cook still leading them in targets, though they're certainly, last week we saw better things from Amari Cooper. So maybe Miami is a place you could go, or back to Baltimore or Houston, who people may have moved off of.
You've opened a can of worms with me, man, I just have to say, about talking about the Giants pick. First of all, let me just make my point before I let you move on from this. When's the last time the Patriots had a top two pick? So you don't even know what they would have taken in that situation. Yeah. And I just feel like Barkley is the guy. He's the guy. You got to draft Barkley. You have to do that. But I agree with you in terms of what letting Eli Manning continue. I mean, what's happening with him is actually sad to me, because I'm worried about his health, number one.
It is sad.
But I agree with you about the signing of Odell Beckham Jr. What they could have done if they traded Odell Beckham Jr. would have been, what they could have brought back in picks would have been spectacular for that football team. But not signing Barkley when there was no dominant offensive lineman and still, in my opinion, no superstar quarterback. I'm not sure about Darnold yet. I'm not sure about Baker Mayfield. You know, we've seen what's happened in Buffalo with Allen. There was nobody out there that's a sure thing. The real sure thing, when you have a top two pick or three pick, you can't miss. I mean, that's why people that say, oh, you're so lucky. Even with the NBA, and anybody that's picking one, two, or three in the draft, if you miss, you're putting yourself back so many years. You just can't miss.
But you know, move yourself forward with a running back on a team that's going to win three games, right?
This year, I agree with you, but this year. But I still think you're building yourself around a situation where maybe the giant op, maybe the running back does come back and they play. Look at what Todd Gurley's done for the Rams. I mean, Goff is a very average quarterback. They've got average wide receivers out there, but this running back Gurley has changed the Rams' fortune. They got a good offensive line and a really good running back.
Yeah. I get that, and obviously this is, and some of this is opinion, but for me, like, actually the example you brought up in Todd Gurley is the perfect example. They had to sit and waste his talent for years before they had a coach who knew what he was doing, before they had an offensive line that knew what they were doing, before they had a competent quarterback, before they have maybe the three or four best, the core wide receiver group is one of the best in football now, and now he can be productive. But I don't know that taking 5 years for Todd Gurley to do anything, you know, or 3 years before he's even effective is a good way to go about building your franchise.
But they drafted him, but they drafted a non-miss guy. They had a year where they moved from St. Louis, where they had a bad, from St. Louis to Los Angeles. Gurley was hurt one season. You know, so it only took 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. Like, what? That's kind of what you got to do from the bottom up, right? It's not going to be a quick fix sometimes. And if
you're
a guy like
6 years out of Saquon Barkley, and three of them you're going to be rebuilding. So I just don't know if he's worth the money for 3 years. That's all. That's my thing.
But if they win, it's
but at other positions.
But in those,
you're only going to get to use them for 3 years.
All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree on that. All right. So listen, quarterback wise, you've seen some things out of Mahomes. I mean, I know you've never been big on quarterbacks in fantasy, but are you starting to change your mind a little bit when you see a guy like Pat Mahomes?
Well, no, I mean, I certainly, it's not that I'm not big on quarterbacks per se. I'm just not big on drafting them, right? That's the whole point. I mean, he's proving the whole theory, which is there's always going to be a quarterback you can get without having to draft him early. We saw it with Alex Smith in the same offense last year. We're seeing it with Patrick Mahomes this year. So yeah, I love what Mahomes is doing. I think they're going to be great. I don't think, you know, it's hard to imagine that he keeps up the kind of production we've seen from him so far, but the NFL is weird. As much as we talk about looking at predictive analytics, and as much as we talk about building from historical averages and trying to anticipate what's going to happen, the problem in the NFL is every season's short, and there's not a lot of time for things to regress to the mean. So though his production has felt like it's beyond what he should be able to do, even though we saw Alex Smith do a lot of those same things last year, he may be able to ride this thing out for quite a while, and we may not see that regression hit till down the road. Maybe it'll be next year before we see that. So, yeah, I love what he's doing. I love him in that offense. The fallout has been Kareem Hunt isn't the guy that we thought he would be, but I think we'll see that change. I don't expect an Andy Reid offense to ignore the running back for too long. So, yeah, I love what Mahomes is doing, and again, it just furthers the idea that you don't need to draft a quarterback early in fantasy football to find one that's going to be productive.
All right, Jake, how do people follow you throughout the week?
Just find me on Twitter, at JakeKentVT. Send me questions if you have them, and happy to help out anytime.
Jake, you're the man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, how about those Red Sox? I just got to say.
Oh, God. See, now you're double. Hit me both sides.
You got him going.
I'm never going to get invited back.
No, you're still invited back. I don't hold grudges that. Have a good day, buddy. Enjoy. Enjoy your Red Sox, too.
Thank you.
I love Jake. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love him, but he's so wrong on the Saquon Barkley thing.
Was that a fantasy football segment or a Giants
No, see,
segment?
That's what he does. You start poking the bear, and that's what happens. There's not enough time in this show.
He did exactly to you what Bernie always does.
Oh, yeah, he just likes to poke me. But I have to say, like, I've always said, like, you can't not pick Saquon Barkley. How do you not pick him? I mean, it would have been disappointment if he did anything else.
Well, Baker wasn't there, so
it doesn't matter. Even if Baker was there,
man,
he
Baker
looked good.
He looks legit. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but man, that was fun to watch.
So did Sanchez. I just want to say the Jets quarterback. Remember,
not like Baker. Like,
and Baker
that
looked
dude was
great.
Slinging it.
Baker looked great, but there was a lot of question marks. He was not. The Giants were not drafting Baker Mayfield. I'm just going to tell you that that wasn't happening. And I'm just going to say right now,
Saquon looks good.
He's great, and
he's
I think you're.
Great.
And again, if the Giants are contending for a Super Bowl, say in 2 or 3 years, I'll take that from where they're at today.
You're going to get a quarterback in the next draft. It's going to be Drew Locke out of Missouri, and he's going to lead you guys to 17 Super Bowls.
Oh, man. I'm in then. I'm all in. I'm all in to go 0-16 then. Thank you, Jack Cordy. I appreciate it. For you, Jake Kent, I don't appreciate you poking me like this. And as you're going off, give me a little slap about the Red Sox, as I've been complimenting the Red Sox this whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it all right?
Such is my life. All right. Yeah, I'm fine. Hot or not next. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
summer is winding down, but don't put on your winter jackets just yet, because it's about to get toasty. It's Hot or Not, sponsored by Superb Cupcakes in Williston on 101.3 The Game.
Morning on 101.3 The Game. This is Sports Saturday. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Jack Cordy from NBC5, sports anchor. It's pretty cool being a sports anchor, right?
It's not a bad job.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, man. You get to go cover some games. The only thing about your job that's rough is those cameras. That's a lot of weight to be carrying. It's like holding like like putting a person on your shoulder all the time. Those are big. It's 2018. Then they have like smaller cameras. Can't you use your phone or something? Like, you're carrying around those big, bulky 1965 looking cameras.
As everything else gets smaller, our cameras get bigger.
Yeah, they get bigger. It's like, I feel bad for you guys. I'll be at games, I'll see you, and it's like, there's this poor guy like Jack. He's carrying like this huge camera on his shoulder trying to get the right. It's crazy.
Hey, man, it keeps me looking big
it
like
does.
You.
It does. You are buff.
No,
you
it
are
keeps
pretty
me looking
buff.
Big like you.
Yeah, big like me. Keep it coming, though. I appreciate that. All right, you know what this music stands for? It's Hot or Not. Go ahead, kiddo. This is your segment.
Hot or Not time. Hot or Not is thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston.
Oh, those are some good cupcakes, man. Have you been to Superb Cupcakes in Williston?
I feel like I got to go now.
Do yourself a favor. On your way to the Rice St. J game today, swing down to Williston. Get yourself a good cupcake.
Craft cupcakes?
These are unbelievable. Like homemade, the best flavor. They have this pumpkin cheesecake cupcake going now. All right, I'm sorry. I just keep going. You start talking about this place, I get rolling, you know?
Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston. If you get there today, maybe you can get an autograph from Jack Cordy.
Yeah, right.
For the best cupcakes. For the best cupcakes around, they won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early as hours are subject to change and if they sell out.
And they do a bunch of seasonal ones too, which are really cool. So, like, for example, the other day I was talking to them and they had like a hot cocoa cupcake. Mm. They had this pumpkin cheesecake cupcake. Not just everything else. They've got zillions of cupcakes. It's like going to a beautiful donut shop and all the donuts you get to pick. It's like going there for cupcakes. It's unbelievable.
We need one of those, by the way. There used to be one in Burlington and then it left. Where'd all the craft donut places go?
Well, let me tell you something. You want a good craft donut? We'll talk off air about that.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Rutland has some, you know, it has its faults, the city. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something, man. There is some good food down there, buddy boy. They have a great donut place. So if you're ever cruising through, I'll tell you where to hit.
All right. They have a Taco Bell there, too.
Do they have a Taco
Another
Bell?
Another thing we need down here.
Come
up
on.
Here.
You're comparing some craft donut place to Taco Bell?
I need good
You've
food.
Lost all credit. You want good food? You're talking Taco Bell?
Chick-fil-A?
My God,
Taco
stop.
Bell is
You've
the
lost all credibility
bomb.
With me.
And there's one, lost credibility there's one with 6 minutes away from my college, and it was one of the best things about going there.
Talk about bomb.
It's a real selling
the
point.
The bathroom is where the bomb happens after you eat that.
Oh, hello.
Hey, all good has its bad.
All right, what do we got today?
Tom Brady will connect with Josh Gordon for at least one score on Sunday.
Go, you want to take this first, hot or not?
Not. That's not happening.
Yeah, I'm going to say hot. I bet they do. I mean, I bet Belichick figures it out. He's going to, I mean, we got a text, right? We got a text from a listener that said that it's not the winning. It's not Belichick that gets people to straighten out. It's the winning. It's Belichick is the one that's created the winning in New England. He's the guy that pulls the strings in New England. I bet you he figures out a way to get Gordon involved and he wants to do it quickly. I bet you Brady finds him at least once this week. And how bad would it be in Detroit, too, against, you know, Patricia? Unbelievable.
He just got there like a couple days ago. I don't know.
But Bill Belichick could tell him, kid, just go run circles out there and he'd find his way open.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does. But I'm going to say hot. I bet he gets one this week. And typical because he was on my fantasy team and as soon as he got kicked out of Cleveland, I dropped him. I know. It's bad. I was angry. I was frustrated. I'm like, you know what? All my other wide receivers were hurt. I needed to have a wide receiver. I'm thinking, well, no one's going to pick this kid up now. He's gone. Of course, 5 minutes later, here's Belichick. So I'm like trying to get him back. Didn't happen. All right. I digress. Had a bad week. Let's go.
Mark Cuban should have been forced to sell his team.
Yeah, let's update us on what's happening with Mark Cuban.
So basically, there were several sexual misconduct things that came across Adam Silver's desk, and the league decided that his punishment should be that he has to donate $10 million. Now, anyone who knows Mark Cuban, Shark Tank and owning the Mavericks and everything, $10 million is a joke to him. And then you look at Jerry Richardson in the NFL, who basically got run out of town. Why is that not happening to Mark Cuban? What's the difference?
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to have a hot take on this. I don't know enough about it, obviously. But if he was proven to have done this, yeah, then maybe. Yeah, I'd say hot. He should have been forced to sell his team. There's no room for that in any workplace or any situation. Mark Cuban is a high-profile personality. And if that did happen, I'd say hot. But again, I don't know enough about it to know whether he was proven that it did happen. Obviously, he had to do something in terms of the $10 million.
I don't know. I'd say hot. Yeah, if it happened, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if this is as big of a story, I mean, I feel like it should be a bigger story,
yeah,
if this is the case, because yeah, I haven't heard much about this either. But it almost sounds like a bribe. Not a bribe, but like you just pay for this to go away.
Yeah.
If this is the case, obviously.
But to me, it sounds like the NBA said, we're fining you $10 million because of this. That's kind of what it says. So it doesn't sound like it's somebody trying to say, pay me off so we don't talk. It sounds like the NBA said. So it's interesting. It's an interesting piece. But I will say this. There's no room for that anywhere. And, you know, I am going to look into this, though, because it's an interesting story, but I've heard nothing about it.
Well, yeah. Mark Cuban has had his fair share of...
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a controversial figure. There's no question about it.
It's interesting because the NBA has actually gotten credit because their maximum fine for management is $2.5 million, so instead they mandated a donation, but that's still nothing to him.
Nothing to him, but still $10 million. So, I don't know what the situation was. I don't know if I'm about to even make a comment on it, so we'll just move on.
This will be Eli Manning's last year as a Giant.
Well, I mean, obviously, I wish, but, you know, I just feel bad for Eli. I think it's time. No, he'll have one more year with the Giants. I think Jack said it best. If the Giants finish the way people think they're going to finish, they're going to have a high pick. My guess would be a quarterback. You're going to want your quarterback to learn at least for one season, especially if the offensive line isn't better. So I'm going to say not. It'll be Eli Manning second to last year. But hopefully Eli's be able to, you know, I just hope Eli gets out the season healthy. I mean, he's a great person in the community. He's been a great quarterback for the Giants. They've won championships. I know I kind of bang on him a little bit here, but you just want to see him be able to walk away from the game, not limp away. And you're worried about him right now with this offensive line.
I will say not as well. It's simply he's under contract next year for $17 million or something like that. And it's too hard to walk away from $17 million staring you in the face.
That's true.
He's got one more, and they'll have a rookie QB who will most likely take over for him at some point next season.
And that's what's too bad about what happened last year with him, that since they decided that they sat him one game. If you're going to sit him, you might as well just like let him finish, like not play him the rest of the season. That way that the kid could have finished. He kind of handed the keys to the kid maybe next season at some point. But yeah, it'll be another year after this one. But as a Giant fan, it's going to be lean for a couple years, I think. Going to be lean.
Between losing to the Chiefs and tying with the Cleveland Browns and multiple personnel issues that are probably not his fault, but still, Mike Tomlin is on the hot seat.
I'm going to say not yet, at least. I think Mike Tomlin's earned the right to be able to figure this thing out. He's a very good coach. He's motivational. I think he shows that he's got a lot of passion on the sideline. He's proven that he can turn the thing around. I think he's done really well with teams. I think the Steelers are always a little bit more overhyped than they really are in some cases. I think you've got a quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger that's often injured. He finds ways to win, but he's on the other side of his career. He's doing it without his all-everything running back right now. So where Jake says running backs aren't that important, you can see what the difference of not having him in the backfield for the Steelers has made. I think you give him some chance to get himself righted here. But if they end up going, you know, 0-2-1 or maybe 0-3-1 and then 0-4-1, if they get in a position like that, then yes. But right now, I think you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
The answer is not yet. That's my take on that, because Tomlin doesn't handle the contract disputes. Tomlin doesn't handle Le'Veon Bell's contract situation. That's not on him. That's on management. Tomlin doesn't handle Antonio Brown's Twitter, okay? This is the head coach. Obviously, you're supposed to have your players in line. You're supposed to be, you know, the guiding hand of the team. But when his players go out and do stuff that's not in his control, it's not on Tomlin. Obviously, the outcomes haven't been, you know, favorable for the Steelers. You tie with the Browns and you lose to the Chiefs. Funny thing about that Steelers-Chiefs game, I think the first time in NFL history a home team has scored 37 points and not turned the ball over and lost that game.
Let's say this about Tomlin, too. They found a way to come back in that game and get themselves a position to win. A team that's not fighting for their coach doesn't do that. I mean, that team was down 21-0 at home, looking really ugly, coming off a really ugly tie to Cleveland, and they found a way to get themselves in a position to win. That's a team that's fighting for their coach.
The Celtics should make a move for Jimmy Butler.
I'm going to say not. I think the Celtics are pretty set with where they're at. Jimmy Butler, who I really like, I've always liked Jimmy Butler, seems to be a bit of a, there seems to be something going on there. He wasn't a good fit in Chicago. I know Chicago was rebuilding, but he seemed to be a problem in the locker room. Now we're starting to see some potential issues with Minnesota. I don't think you bring that into Boston. I think Boston's got exactly what they need set. If they're healthy, they got the right coach, they're at the right time. I don't think Jimmy Butler does anything with the Celtics.
They've got enough stuff to deal with already. Isn't Kyrie looking to get to New York or become a Knick potentially? And they don't need a Jimmy Butler situation here. They already have enough guards. They have Jalen.
Yeah,
you know, they already have enough guards.
And if they're healthy, the Celtics are lights out if they're healthy. And I love Brad Stevens. I mean, that team is. That's a team to watch this season. And not that I'm giving you breaking news here, but if they stay healthy with that coaching staff, they got a chance to be very special.
Baker Mayfield is the best rookie quarterback in the NFL this year.
Hot, hot, hot. I mean, he's only played one game, but you got to give him benefit out. Down 14-0. He comes into a game and finds a way to win. He's energetic. He brings a lot to the table. He got that team moving again. I'm telling you right now, the Cleveland Browns are going to be in the playoffs this season. There's absolutely they should be undefeated. This football team should be 3-0. This is a good football team, a good defense. They've got weapons on the outside. Now they've got a quarterback they believe in, a good running game. This football team's for real, especially in the AFC, which is very top-heavy right now.
I feel like we're agreeing on everything. That's if good. Hugh Jackson had any brain, he would have started Baker Mayfield to start the season. Tyrod Taylor looked awful in the beginning of this game. Baker comes in, lights it up. That was the most excited I've ever been watching a Cleveland Browns, New York Jets football game. The highest rated Thursday night football game in 3 years, I think. And it was the Browns and the Jets. Baker Mayfield was a stud. I love watching that.
Yeah,
dude.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I'm a Giants fan, but I'm rooting for Cleveland. It's a fun team to root for.
You got Baker, you got Hyde, you got Landry. Oh, yeah. They let go of Gordon because they don't need Gordon. They have Callaway now.
That's very true.
Out there. It's fun to watch Cleveland.
Perfect segue. If Hugh Jackson had brains, does Hugh Jackson have brains? Probably not. That's why I'm saying bye-bye, Hugh Jackson.
No, you can't do that yet. I mean, he was handed one of the worst football teams in history. They're in the process of rebuilding it. He's now got
that was
himself,
management.
He's now has a quarterback. He's got an opportunity now with some talent around him. Let's see what happens. I mean, he it's not his fault that his kicker can't make a field goal. This team should be 3-0 right now. He missed a chip shot against Pittsburgh and two chip shots against New Orleans to go on the road to New Orleans and not only keep them. What did New Orleans have, like 20 points in that game? That's a New Orleans team that scores 40, almost 50 points a game in that dome. Cleveland's for real, and Hugh Jackson, give him a shot. Let's see how he finishes the season.
He's finally got talent in Cleveland. I know I just said if he had brains, but he made the brains decision to bench Tyrod Taylor. Make bench him. He had a brain injury, but it was a very convenient brain injury. Not saying that in any way, but for Browns fans, for Cleveland in general, because Baker goes in and slings it, you got to let Hugh ride this one out.
And give you the benefit of the doubt. You don't know if management is saying, look, we're going to do Tyrod for a little while. There's a lot of things that happen in this situation with him, too.
Yeah. He went 1-31 in two seasons. Let him coach with talent.
And this team should be 3-0. I'm just saying it. The field goal kicker makes two chip shot field goals. This team's 3-0.
The Sox can't win the World Series with their bullpen.
I told you first segment, that's not. The Red Sox can win the World Series with this bullpen. It's not about whether you're the best team, whether in terms of hitting, defense, starting pitching, relief pitching. It's about moments. And if you have more moments than the team you're playing, you're going to move on in the playoffs. The Red Sox have everything it takes to win a World Championship.
The Sox can't win it with that couldn't be less true. They're going to win it. They have a generational, they're not going to win it, but they can win it.
Sure.
I mean, that's an asinine statement to say that. The bullpen can be overcome if your offense can hit and mash like the Boston Red Sox
can. As long as the Red Sox starting pitching does their job, they're going to be in all those games. And if the Red Sox are in games late, you got to like that offense. I'm just saying. You got to like their grit. They've got a lot going for them right now. That's a good baseball team. I can't believe I just said that, though. Man.
You feel dirty?
Oh, I don't feel dirty. I just feel like it's going to be a long fall. With the Giants, they're going to end up being like 2-14 or 1-15, and the Red Sox winning the World Series, this is going to be a long winter for me.
He hates to feel the red bleeding through his pinstripes.
It's going to be ugly. Ugly for me. All right, that's Hot or Not. That's Hot or Not. It's every single Saturday here on 101.3 Through the Game Sports Saturday. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Funny, we were just talking off air about the Cleveland Browns and how much we love Baker Mayfield, and I was just going to tell you, I was in Jamaica for the draft back in April, and they had this huge draft party at this resort we are, and there must have been 100 Cleveland Brown fans, or just, and I mean regalia, like got the dog masks on, they're hooting, hollering, running around with the dog bones, and when they drafted Baker Mayfield, you should have seen people freak out. They were so upset. They didn't know what the heck was going on. Like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Then they draft the cornerback. I think they had the first and fourth pick or something in the draft, or the first and fifth or something. Cleveland had two top five picks. And these people were beside themselves. They got to be happy right now with their guy, Baker Mayfield.
Well, Baker made a late jump up the board.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, the week before, he's projected to go number one. And people are like, well, when did this happen?
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Because I think the thing, Baker Mayfield's biggest problem was Manziel. I think because people just, they looked at him the way they both played and the personalities. I think they kind of, they meshed them together. But Baker Mayfield's a stud, and Cleveland must be very happy today to have them. Hey, man, Jack, thanks so much for doing this with us today.
It's been a blast.
I really appreciate it.
I always enjoy waking up a little early.
Yeah.
Get my day, you know, started a little early. Got some high school football to go to right now.
Yeah, you're heading over to see the Rice-St. Jay game. Big game today.
Rice-St. Jay, big D1 matchup.
Yeah.
I think a couple 2-1 teams.
Yeah, that's a big game. And especially in D1 this year in football where there's so many teams that could win it this year. So
it's wide open.
It really is. I do have to say a couple shout-outs here. Some people near and dear to my heart. My buddy Dave Antonoli was inducted into the St. Michael's Hall of Fame for soccer. A good friend of mine, a well-deserved, an amazing player in college and in high school. And he's now in the Hall of Fame at St. Michael's. And a former player of mine, Casey Brooks, was also inducted into that same shoe for softball. Two phenomenal players and two very, very good people. I'm glad to hear that. And Burlington Free Press Player of the Week, our goalkeeper at Colchester, Olivia Moore. If you haven't seen this kid play goalkeeper effort yet, she's our high school. She's a sophomore at our school, Colchester. She plays for our girls' soccer team. She won Burlington Free Press Player of the Week. There were a lot of people on that list that were deserved of that award, but Olivia has been spectacular, not only for us, but she's a spectacular person. Great leader. She's just a great player, so I'm really happy to hear that she won that award as well. So congratulations to my buddy Dave Antonoli, Casey Brooks for St. Michael's, and our buddy Olivia Moore, goalkeeper for the Colchester girls soccer team, Burlington Free Press Player of the Week. Hey guys, we are Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. You can stream us live on 101.3thegame.com. You get the app, the 101.3 The Game app. You can listen to our podcast throughout the week as well. For Jack, thanks so much for filling in. Bernie, who's out there doing his thing. Aaron Wells, you're the man, buddy. Well done. Have a great weekend, everybody.